afternoon or evening. We're going to go ahead and get started. John Paul is our scribe for today. We are recording this session, so if anyone has any objections or concerns about the recording, record all the sessions and post them as part of the minutes. These are open meetings in an open community, so if you're not comfortable, you can either raise a concern or leave the call. All right. Thank you, John Paul, for scribing today, and we'll be handing off next week to Umi-san. As we continue the location, thank you for everybody, chipping in and doing part of it. We'll move on to roll call. I'm John Murray from AT&T.
Yeah, this is Gina from China Mobile.
Thank you. David? Okay, David is not here. John Paul?
Yes, hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
Masafumi-san?
Yes, this is Masafumi from Docomo.
Huha?
Yes, hello, everybody who is here.
Thank you. William?
Hello, this is William.
Ganesh?
Good morning, Jack. Hi, everyone. This is Ganesh.
Okay. Vishwa? Or Kristen Young as his alternate? Okay, so Verizon has not attended in some time. All right, we have our quorum, so we can continue on with voting matters as part of this. So the first step is to review the minutes of the meeting. So today being October 28th, 2020, we'll review the minutes for October 21st, 2020, which is last week. John Paul Lane was our scribe. We have the recording attached. And here are, the minutes attached. Okay, and then we have, of course, the recording. Does anyone have any questions, concerns, corrections, adjustments that we should consider for the minutes? Okay, John Paul, you want to make a motion to accept the minutes?
Yeah, I'll make the motion, Jack.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I can second.
All those in favor say aye.
Archin saying aye.
Masahumi saying aye.
Yoha says aye.
Ganesh saying aye.
All those in favor say no. Nay. All right, we've accepted the minute from October 21st. October, that's today's date, is the 21st. No. Accepted from the 21st. So we'll move back to the normal agenda. So on the 28th. So any questions for any additions or to add to the agenda?
Jack, I'm not sure whether Jason is online, but recently he has been reaching us regarding a cross post between LFN and Olin Lines. So not sure whether he is online and whether he would like to raise this or not.
Thanks, Jinri. Yes. Is now a good time, or we can visit it down in the agenda?
Let's list it down in the agenda.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Anyone else have anything to add? All right, then we'll go ahead with the current agenda. Let's see. I think there was a new request this week. I think, Madi, you had asked for one, but you got the votes. But there was another one for creating a new repo for...
All right, this is Alexis for the simulator repo.
Right, simulator repo.
Via video simulated data.
Okay, so basically the simulated data that they've, it's been created that we'll be using as part of the testing and training needed a home, so we created a repo for that. Now,
correct. And the recommendation was to have a separate repo with a clear license.
Right. And the license we're using is the software license from Linux Foundation. The data license from Linux Foundation.
Yes, it is called CDLA permissive.
Okay.
Now,
the actual contribution of that code is coming from Viavi, correct? Because they're the ones that generated that, correct. Even though the input of that came from the community. Is there someone from Viavi here? No, okay. Let's see, is Ritwick here today? Okay. It doesn't seem like Ritwick was able to make it today, which is fine. I just want to make sure, this is when we do things for the first time, it's good to pay extra attention and make sure we follow the right mechanisms. And so I just want to make sure, even though we create the repo, that the data is moved and the licenses are properly set up in those repos and we'll go ahead and talk to Ritwick and make sure Viavi is comfortable with getting through that. And Alex, thanks for supporting that in the, in the simulator repo. How many votes are outstanding?
Just to update you, so as far as I know, this is the recommendation from the Linux Foundation of the new repository and also of the license itself. And Viavi cleared this with their legal team. So this is what I know.
Good.
And everything is fine from this point.
All right. Just that when we move the data in, you still have to kind of attach the header and things.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. On the vote for the approval, do you have enough votes yet, or do you need?
I have no votes, actually.
Okay. I thought I had responded to it, but. So while we're all on the call and there's no votes, then can you make the motion, Alex, for approval of the repo?
Sure. So I would like to make
I have one quick question.
Sure.
I have one quick question regarding this repo. What kind of data is this repo for? I mean, like, for example, is it for the air interface data or let's say it's E2 data or?
E2 data.
E2 data.
Yes, so data okay. That will be consumed by the exaps, I think.
Okay.
And you said that this is what Linux Foundation proposed, even though yes. That this is Git is a text based file, and this is binary files, and and you don't see any problems with this one or Linux Foundation.
It's not binary. It's CSV. So it's human readable. But it's not code. It's just basically data that by configuring the VIV simulator, the simulation run in a certain way, like how many users, what mobility pattern, we can run the simulator and it produces the measurements for the cells and the users at certain frequency. So it's a trace of the simulation. And okay. the data includes what we need for the KPM service model and some additional information that we are not currently included in the KPM, but that may be useful for example, for the machine learning training.
Okay.
So the VRV simulator here, it is to generate or simulate the E2 data, right?
It is to simulate the RAN, and as a part of the simulation, it produces the data. Like it simulates the UEs and simulates the cells. So at certain frequency, it basically records what the signal strength from the UE to the different cells. And that's the content of the data. And for each cell, it reports what is the utilization and things like that.
But then we get the E2, right? Okay, I see.
Yeah. And then the E2 simulator will consume this data and feed it to the near real-time RIC as E2 messages.
Okay.
Indications, yes.
But so in this configuration, we have VRV simulator to simulate the RAN, and we also have this E2 simulator to consume this E2 data, right?
Yes, the E2 simulator takes the CSV file and constructs the ASN1 payload and sends it as the E2 report message.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Do I have a second on creating the repo for the E2 simulator data?
Yeah, I can second. I think this is significant.
Thank you. Jinri? All those in favor say aye.
The Ganesh saying aye?
Jinri saying aye.
You watch
us. Over there.
To the last person, Richard, I don't think I could hear it clearly.
It was me. I think it was Trumpel said aye.
Yes. Okay. All those against say nay. All right, so we've approved the repo for you, Alex, and
thank you.
And this is, a very good step forward in being able to demonstrate some of the functionality. So, thank you. All right, anyone else have anything that they want to that needs? Votes or approvals that are outstanding. Okay, so we'll move on to the copyright. All right, we made a little progress in the last week. David Kinsley from Qualcomm had done a presentation during the face-to-face of some of the summary issues. We reviewed some of that. And then we also had a meeting with Linux Foundation legal team, Scott Nicholas. He is creating a post for the for the Linux Foundation, actually a blog post that will highlight, you know, the real issues associated with copyright issues from standards organizations and what are the open source guidelines for incorporating that code in. So rather than exchanging it in emails, he's going to actually get it approved and posted as part of their public blog posts. So this way Linux Foundation is on record about what's the what are the issues, how to best address the issues and do that. Jinri, I don't have, when we talked at the EC meeting Friday, I didn't make the one Monday, but on Friday, I think Jinri, you had dropped off by then, maybe it was right at the end of the meeting, which was running way over. We talked about, bringing up, getting members to raise at Etsy an issue that we need to get the copyright issue for open source resolved in a certain window of time. I don't remember if this got moved forward or they were going to discuss it at the, I think, board meeting as well, potentially, but I don't know if it made the agenda and I didn't attend the board meeting. But at least the EC I raised this with the EC and we discussed it and they were supportive of, excuse me, because the Etsy only has a board meeting twice a year. And it's not that we would have a proposal yet for them to approve, but what we were pushing them to do was set a goal for themselves to get this addressed within, you know, a certain period of time. It appears, you know, I've not talked to them directly. There are people who are working that, but basically what I've been told was they have had a subcommittee on open source for more than a year, and they're not making much progress in that space. And so if we can't make progress with Etsy, we'll move on to a second option to try to work this item. But we can't just leave it, you know, sitting there forever without, you know, some actively working the issue. So those are the two updates, at least for it. You know, I've done a little bit of research. It's just the EC was heavily booked in the last week preparing for the ORAN board meeting, which occurred yesterday. And it was a big board. You know, they only meet a few times a year, but also this was the first time they held new elections at the board level. So the board gets reelected every 2 years. And so there was a lot of preparation, and that consumed a lot of the cycles for the EC. So we'll, you know, hopefully at the next EC meeting, we'll continue pushing this item. And I continue to meet on Fridays with the with this team. Not this Friday though, but the subsequent Friday is the next meeting. But this Friday, by this Friday, Scott said he would. He was working to get this blog post in position so that at least Linux Foundation has clearly articulated, you know, their position on some of this. Anyone have any questions?
So, Jack, this is Mahesh, and I guess the main issue for at least SMO is the usage of the 3GPP data models. So there are two clarifications that would be helpful to get. One is we're trying to use the models as part of the framework that Alex has put together. And the concern we have is, even though it's running in the OSC lab with limited access to people, is it okay for us to actually use those models? Because we are not, quote, publishing them. So that's one clarification. And the second, of course, is in general, as you pointed out, the usage of those models in the OSC community.
Right. So, you know, the 3GPP generates the models with the intent that they be used. 3GPP itself does not, as entities, we could ask for a license on those specific models. They do have a process to just license it for publication. Now, if we're not publicly publishing the models, then the copyright issue doesn't really come into play. If you, if they have the models published somewhere and you can just ingest them and use them, I think generally that's the intent of the copyright, is that you can use it, just not republish it. Right. So you should be able to read them and, you know, execute them, but they shouldn't be in the Linux Foundation repo, you know, in their, as part of our content. So okay. I think running them in the lab, we are covered by the intent to use them. Publishing them in the repos is only okay right now for reference, to say use these models and here's, you know, where you can find them. That's okay. But the replicating the models themselves in our repos are currently not allowed. Now, Tracy, are you on today?
Yes.
Is there anything that you're aware of that's inconsistent with what I said? So, can you deal with the models a little bit more?
I don't think it's absolutely crystal clear that there's a method or a process that allows us to, you know, use the models, the 3GPP models, for demonstration purposes. There's nothing that disallows it, but when we met among ourselves, we said we need to establish a clear process like that which exists with IETF. And then, of course, you know, the other restrictions with using the 3GPP models need to be addressed.
Yes. Have you asked this question of the standards group?
I've been talking with the AT&T rep, David Smith, and Brian Daly's team. He's meeting, I think there's an SA5 meeting going on now, and this is a topic of discussion. But I'm not sure I'm not sure how this is going to be resolved. I think we need something, at a higher level than a working group liaison statement.
Okay. So So I'll work to get clarification on that after the meeting and get back to people. So that's the best I can do.
And at the same time, Jack, we are pursuing this with the SA5 chair, Thomas Tovinger with Ericsson, and that may yield better results.
All right, then going directly to better results compared to, I'm just trying to understand what's the different paths.
So if SA5, and of course not just the chair, meaning
if they vote on it,
right. if they're in favor of a formalized process that allows I won't say unrestricted use, but managed use as opposed to restricted use, then I think we're out of the woods.
Okay, thank you, Tracy.
I mean, this is what has happened with IETF models.
Now, just for a point of casual discussion, I think this is what you hopefully will see in the blog post from Linux Foundation, what the discussion was, because I'm not the official person to say it, but the discussion was, is Linux Foundation favors using trademark protection on content more so than copyright protection. So basically, I believe what they mean is that prosecuting or controlling things through copyright litigation and other activities is a very complicated process and pretty much gets in the way of people using open source software and other activities. What they recommend is that you control your content through trademark, which means that no one can claim that anything they produce is a version of ORAN specifications they can't mention ORAN without the trademark permission, and that if they do, then that's an easier, not that any litigation is easy, but that is the path they recommend to manage this kind of content. So just sharing parts of the discussion, that's what some of what their guidance is, but in case other people get involved in these kinds of discussions, just sharing some background information, that's kind of their position. They believe it's a better place to do it through the trademark protection than trying to copyright everything and get into all the complexity, because the only purpose of generating software examples and things are to have people use them, and if you have to go through all this work for copyright protection, it's a waste of time to generate copyrighted material if it's intended to go into open source. Sorry. All right. Any other questions on the copyright topic?
Just very quickly, Jack, John Paul here. It was mentioned at one of the previous top meetings that the ORAN Alliance were considering giving a written authorization or permission to OSC around the area of copyright over the specifications. Has that conversation progressed to the point where there's a formal or there's an agreed way of working, or is it still under discussion with the EC?
So there was a vote on the ASN1 code permission. I think and this kind of goes back to what the guidelines from Linux Foundation. So Stefan is willing to, create a statement we could publish that. But Linux Foundation Foundation recommend is that you share that under a license, because then that license carries it forward. The concern about just enabling it directly, let's just say he wrote the email to me or to you, then we would be covered to put it there. But then people who, if any downstream project wanted to use it, it wouldn't be conveyed to them because it's not conveyed as part of an attached license. So that's the subtlety of what we're trying to make sure gets done. So it's not just that Linux Foundation, I mean, that our OSC repo can have it, but if a project downstream wanted to grab that code, like ONF or somewhere else, that copyright would be conveyed to them, ONAP or any other project that used anything downstream. So that's the, at least where my current understanding is, in that dialogue. And that's what we're trying to get this clarification out of Linux Foundation published so that we can get it finalized. But I have not yet received the email from Stefan, mostly because he's been so tied up with, you know, the board meeting activities right now. But now that that's ended, you know, he'll have more time on this topic. But that's my current understanding. Jinri, I know you've been on some of them. Any question there or any update?
No, it's just one side information, a bit related to the question a moment ago. The information is that actually last week during the EC meeting, in preparation for the board deck, Zemelec and I raised this copyright concern. And specifically, I mean, if you recall, before we discussed this 60-day IPR review, and one of our concerns is that during this 60-day window, then how can we deal with this copyright, I mean, regarding this OIC and this ORAN lines. And then during the discussion last week, it is confirmed by Stefan and the EC that even during this 60-day IPR window time, and the EC still have this authorization to give this permission, I mean, this copyright permission to OSC. However, how will they do it? I mean, this has not been discussed yet, but this, I believe is a bit related to what Jack mentioned just now. But I mean, this is the major information that I have from the EC core last week.
It's tedious work, but we're continuing to push on it. It's very important.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe just to summarize, then there's a general process for which we need to have rather than having a bespoke or customized solution for OSE, there's a general process that the Alliance would like to put in place. But in addition to that as well, there's also a conversation about how the OSE can maybe get an exemption to the 60-day IPR window. So there's two items really that I hear.
Right.
My understanding is that, I mean, probably this is not about like OSC's exemption from this 60-day window, because I mean, this is just part of the whole copyright permission process. Because originally our concern is that we are afraid we need to bring this to ORAN board, which will take much longer time. But the good information here that I want to convey is that we don't need to reach board. EC has already had this authorization. So this process, I mean, just involving EC, I believe we're shorten our time greatly.
Right. And of course, all this relates to what's in ORAN documentation, not 3GPP. That's
that's right.
Separate activities.
Yes.
All right. One other very brief point that I know I don't want to keep us here too long, but I guess there's two aspects to this. There's the copyright aspect. So if there's any copyrights in the specification or granting of the copyright or the permission to reproduce that by OSC, that's one aspect. But isn't there another aspect around anything that could be patentable in the specifications and how OSC can interact with those, anything that might maybe have patent there as well? And I guess that speaks to how we use the, for example, the Apache license that we use today in a lot of our contributions. And I'm going to precede everything I say with I'm not a lawyer, but I understand from reading the Apache license that there's two sides to it. There's the copyright side, the granting of copyright to any users of code that's contributed under that license. But there's also a patent aspect as well, that any patents which are included within the scope of the contribution that the person giving the license, the Apache license, grants use to any subsequent users. So the concern or the question we would have is if there's something of patentable material in the in an ORAN specification, and that's not agreed in terms of how that the granting of that is given to OSC, is there a risk that by using the Apache license to make OSC contributions, we may be contributing other companies' patents outside of OSC?
So I'll explain the way that my understanding is. All right. So, all the work around the specifications is copyright. Copyright does not convey patent rights. Right. If we take any portion of the copyrighted material as part of documentation does not use the Apache. It uses the CC4, which doesn't address any of the, doesn't have any of the patent things in it. Just for this. So documentation by itself is a little different than Apache where the code is. Then the Apache, which references to the person who makes the contribution, not the broader community. And so as the different contributors to the different projects know, we've covered about this in the past, that's where it gets complicated around just who contributes to that project, and that code is the only ones. And the purpose of that in the open source community really is in the broader software context, not in the, I'm trying not to get into specific, just the RAN issues and the 3GPP issues, but in the broader software context, the intent is that they don't want the contributing company to pack the software with their specific patents, thereby making the open source software unusable. In this particular case, the whole intent is that all the software work from the FRAN pools that are either 3GPP or ORAN, so people can use it under those FRAN licenses that they're already getting for the to do that work in the RAN space versus other ones, right? So I think that's how we're slowly, carefully trying to walk through this space. But that's my understanding. And like you said, John Paul, I'm not the lawyer, but I'm just recapping my understanding that it's been explained to me. That's how we get to where we are. So the companies who are contributing under Apache is the only one who has to understand their rights relative to that that contribution. All right. So let's move on from this. And I think, hopefully here at the next meeting, it's either, I'll get clarification, or I'll be asking to form a special, you know, subcommittee that, you know, can broaden the participation from companies. We've done this in the past on this topic, but trying to get it at least formed enough so that pulling in additional people is useful. You know, the form meaning the intent of what we need to get resolved. All right. Let's see. We're at 3/4 of the hour, and we're only on the copyright one, which is a big issue. ORAN related business. Jinri, do you have any updates?
Probably just a little bit. You have already mentioned the ORAN new board meeting was just held yesterday, and they got this re-election. Now they have, I believe, like 4 new board members, plus originally 11 board members. So in total, 15, still 15. And yeah, I think nothing else. Oh, by the way, they did post their blog post regarding the breakfast. So one in which our OSC also contribute. So I mean, for anyone interested in that, you can visit the ORAN website for the blog post. Yeah, I think nothing else. Yeah.
Jinri, Jack, I think this may be a good option. So the blog post that Jinri mentioned earlier is a blog post about the bronze release that was posted on the ORAN website.
Yes.
And we wanted to kind of repost it on the LFN website to kind of have visibility to the ONAP and other communities. So we wanted to raise it at the talk to ask if there were any concerns with doing that.
If it's already published material, then it's at least been cleared. And so the only thing you'd need then is to permission to repost it.
Correct.
Right. And is it, trying to remember, was it published by OSC or was it published by?
In ORAN Alliance website.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So Jinri, then I think you just, you know, if we could just raise that at the next EC meeting and get that, you know, or send an email and let's just get permission to allow them to repost it.
Yeah, there will be a TSC call this Friday, and I'm planning to bring this up. Okay. And I already talked with one of the EC leadership, and I think they're okay with this.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to go back and forth, I mean, it would be good for like cherry release or anything with the ORAN SC we could post would be useful.
Yeah. In that case, I think we need a formal approval from EC.
Okay.
Let's
start with this.
For this case.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
We'll move forward. Thanks.
No, thank you. I'm a bit sorry for taking
this
so long.
This is Tracy. I just wanted to, you know, we've been putting links to the public-facing ORAN.org website for a while now within other open source project wikis. Is there a problem with that?
Not the links. Links are good.
Okay.
If you copy the material over onto a different site is the only time that somebody may question that, if you know what I mean, in the sense, because you've now copied it all over. What's the mechanism to represent where the source material came from and did it get changed? But links to back to the original one is the best way to do it, as long as it's open and people can get to it.
Yes,
I think
yes.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the right way, Tracy.
Yes.
Whatever possible.
And the only other thing, Jinri in the chat and Jack, the next demo that we're working on is taking place on Thursday, December 3rd. And this is actually a live demo that includes a geographic aware visualizer of OTIX, the open and or ORAN testing and integration centers that were featured, actually, you know, exercised during the second POC and Plug Fest. And that will, that's going to include Linux Foundation as well as ORAN members, unless we get direction to the contrary.
Okay. Sounds good.
By the way, Tracy, do you have more information regarding the demo? I mean, you can send me offline or just guide me to any link. Sure. I would like to also include it in the TSC report. I think this is worth mentioning it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
And of course, I think the biggest thing going on that affects us is that the November train of specifications will be coming out soon, and that will be something we have to look at for our de-release planning. So we'll make sure that we take a look at those items moving forward. All right, anything else on ORAN?
Just building on what you said, Jack, the November train includes the consolidated information model data models, not just ORAN, PC, and the subject of the OSC release 3 proof of concept, first quarter 2021.
All right. And then going back to your previous conversation, are there any information data models that are unique to, basically under the domain of ORAN to manage? Are they all pointing upstream to, 3GPP or other locations for the data models?
I think there's a mix of ORAN sourced, 3GPP, IETF, and IANA.
All right. So at least for the 3G, for the ORAN based ones, are the information models themselves, are they part of the copyright? Are they published outside of the copyright?
We need to think about that some more.
Okay. All right. Just trying to understand which set of rules to apply for here. All right, let's take that back and talk about that, as to how ORAN wants to manage their models most effectively, and what the your team or the team working on them recommends. All right, let's anything else on that, Tracy?
Not at this time.
Okay, then let's go ahead and move on to our next item, open business on the OCU. I think I got an email from Chi Lin highlighting that we haven't, that they're proposing a new person for the OCU PTL to backfill Yingying, who moved on to another assignment, right, Jinri, do you want to handle that?
It's my colleague Gu Su. She's actually based in the West Coast, and not sure. This is too early for her. Not sure whether she's online. I believe
I'm
so.
Online.
Okay. So she's very experienced in our company, and actually, she will also take over the Working Group 8 co-chair position for Yingying. So I believe that, with this dual position, and she can also help to get her better alignment between the Working Group 8, ORAN Alliance, and our OSC OCU project. I think that's all.
This is good news. if we could have Sugu, can you just post a you know, like a we usually have like a self-nomination email go out to the email list. Just talk a little bit of, you know, about your, you know, your background, and you know that you've been self-nominating for as the replacement for the OCU PTL, and that we will then go ahead and you know, go through the approval process to you know, name you as the replacement for Yingying in the OSC project up until the next time that elections occur. That's normally the process that we go through as the, you know, when one company replaces somebody in the same role, if that's okay. And just, you know, with your email information and, you know, contact information and stuff, just as part of notifying, going through the process of recognizing you into that position. Does anyone else have any questions about? Okay, so Sugu, you okay with that?
Yeah, thank you, Jack. I will send out the email later.
Great, thank you. All right, you know, I think that's a big item that we have open in the sense of trying to figure out how to move forward in this OCU space. It's an important piece. All right, the C release deliverables, people can keep them up to date, but once we get, you know, we should be closing on the, you know, software development cycle. So people should be able to, between now and the time that we release the software, updating their summary pages on the Cherry release on what is there so that it's current and part of the online documentation for what was done in the C release. But the you know, we have a little bit of time for that. Then standing agenda items, I think let's see, Felix, any items that you need to raise as part of the release management and testing activities at this time? How's the progress going?
Yes, so we finished testing the YAML models for SMO teams in the OSC lab, and we are currently working on the traffic steering use case testing and also the ODU testing. So one issue, and Intel actually brought up this problems that it's not an immediate problem, that so Intel provides this ICC C++ compilers that we can use in our OSC lab. But they want us to enforce end user agreements because of the licensing issue. So the idea is that in the future, if we want to utilize the CI pipelines in our OSC lab, then that teams need to sign ERA agreements. So I think that we need to work together with Chishens to implement such a page that allows the people to come in and sign the agreement before they can use the lab, for using the ICC compilers inside the lab. And but I think that these items that we can work on, this is not immediately needed. So that's the update.
So I need to, maybe we can catch up offline. It's only the compiler, not the actual. They can run the demo and they can use the software as part of a bigger demo. Once it's compiled, they'll just use the I don't know, is it compiled into binary?
Hi, Jack.
Yes.
Maybe let me give you more details. So actually, there's only one concern from Intel. And the concern is we don't want to be let the OIC server, OIC lab, as one distribution site of ICC. You know, if there's many if there's many audience, they can access this lab. And because we have to install the ICC and also have the ICC all files, all the ICC compiler files inside this server. So maybe, you know, someone, they can just copy from this server and use it by themselves. So
yeah, but I guess the question I'm trying to understand, I understand there's a compiler there, but but we could put the compilers and stuff on one server there with more restricted access. I don't want anyone to use the whole lab, you know, needs to sign the agreement if possible, that only the people who want access to the compiler needs to sign the agreement. If the results of the compiler is okay for more people to, you know, use the output of the compiler, and is the output of the compiler binary? So should you understand that the difference? I'm trying to, because people may be using the lab for other things, and the Intel sub-platform is just used as a, you know, a piece in the bigger framework. And they're not looking at the compiler or any of that, so they don't. I don't want to have to force everybody to go through, you know, the as an open lab, right? The part of the intent is to keep it, you know, as license free as possible. So, can we somehow, you know, separate that out from, you know, using the compiled result and the demonstration platform from the people who build and compile it and need to sign the license? That's my question. I don't know if that's easily achievable, but
yeah, it's definitely reasonable for that. But I don't know how to control that. Now, someone have the access of this server. Definitely, we don't know if he will copy that or not. And
So I think that we can, this is only related to these two Intel servers that we use in the lab. And I can work with Rich to implement some mechanisms to separate this from the general access to the OSC lab, so that anybody who need to access the Intel servers has to grant the special permissions from us. And the process for granting the permission includes signing the agreement. So I think that can solve our problem here. So only people who need those Intel servers need to sign us an agreement. So Jack, I think that answers your question.
Yeah, so let's just work to put those procedures in place.
Yep, will do.
Okay.
Thank you. And the agreement is just related to the ICC compiler. It's not related to the, you know, our contribution at all.
Yes, understand. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. All right. So we'll take that. Now we're past the hour, so I'll say at this point, you know, really the question is there any other business, or is there anything anyone needs to raise at this time? We spent some time on some of the other issues that haven't gotten as much time over the last few weeks, getting ready for the face-to-face and talking about some of the other issues that have been raised, have, you know, preoccupied previous meetings. So is there any other items that need to be raised or addressed today before we close the meeting? Okay, then I'll go ahead and close this meeting. We can stop recording. Thank you for attending.